On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Back. Did you miss me? I wasn't really gone that long. And besides, there was so much to do. You didn't have to listen to me. What do I have to add to anything, really? I'm just an observer, like you. But I have a podcast, so I can get what I need to say out there if anyone's listening. You know, you can do that too. Go for it. You want to do this? Just do it. It's not hard, really. Anyway, I was thinking of doing these Tory shows once or twice a month as opposed to once a week and really make them better and not just not as good. You know, give myself some time to get some good stories together. For instance, okay, we did have a happy new year and everything. I guess it was happy. It's cold and it's snowing and miserable. And Ron definitely had a good idea. The first of the year should be Labor Day. That should be New Year's. Anyway, we've talked about that, but that's a good idea. That will never happen. Okay, so what has happened? The Golden Globes. That's right, they're not the Oscars, but they're kind of like the Oscars. To me, the biggest difference between the Oscars and the Golden Globes is that the Oscars, the Academy Awards, is strictly movies. The Golden Globes is movies and television. They kind of, you know, there's whatever. Which is fine. It's a little more interesting. It's a little bit longer. I don't know. And maybe it's not as good, but they had a lot of, like, A-list actors there. So I think it was good. And Oprah. Oprah was there. Okay. Oprah won, was given? You're not really, you don't really win it. You're given the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award. And she had a really great speech. I'm sure you've heard it or heard about it. It was good. And there's something else I heard about Oprah. Not that night, but the next day. Okay? There's a rumor, and it's probably a true rumor. I know rumors aren't supposed to be true, but in this case, I think this one is. That Oprah is thinking of running for president. And you know what? I think that's great. And I hope it's in 2020. I mean, she'd start running now. She'd have to start running this year if she's going to really seriously do it. Because if she doesn't do it this year, it's not going to be for 2020. And that's what I really think should happen. Now, I think it's a good idea for many reasons. I think it is possible and that she'll even be elected because look who's president now. Okay? One of the only good things to come out of a Donald Trump presidency is that anybody can be president. I could probably be president. Heck, I don't want to. But you know what? With the right speech, the right money, the right backing, tell people what they want to hear. Okay, Tory could be president. Seriously. But I don't want that. Donald Trump doesn't want it. He wants to be golfing and not working and spending 3 hours in the morning watching TV and daydreaming and tweeting. He doesn't want to be president. He just likes to have authority and want people to talk about him. But anyway, back to Oprah. So yeah, I think Oprah can win. She has a better chance than Donald Trump of winning, especially now with everything. She wants to unite us. He wants to divide us. And I think we really need that now. So, and Oprah's a kind person. It looks like she would just do the right thing with a kind heart and all of that. But now back to the Golden Globes for a minute. I did watch it and I streamed it. You know, I don't consider watching television the same thing as when you're streaming it on your computer or your handheld. You know, that's a device and it's not TV. So technically, I'm not even watching television, okay? So I'm going to stick with the fact that I don't watch television because I pretty much basically don't. I don't have a television in my room and that's where I spend a lot of time. Now, and while watching it, I did notice that everybody's wearing black. And, you know, I didn't understand it at first because I didn't watch the red carpet thing, which I used to do a lot more with the Academy Awards and of course Joan Rivers Fashion Police. Oh, I miss that show so much. That was my guilty pleasure. Joan Rivers, tearing apart these celebrities in the funniest way, most politically incorrect way imaginable. Rest in peace, Joan Rivers. Oh, do I miss you? And there would have been a couple of outfits you definitely would have remarked on. And I was thinking Catherine Zeta-Jones and somebody else. They wore almost the same thing. And it was like a see-through dress where it looked like they had Spanx on underneath. These like little underwear, black underwear. I don't even know, but it was very distracting. I'm thinking, especially when you had Kirk Douglas there in his wheelchair looking 1,000 years old, bless his little heart. I mean, I wouldn't have even recognized him. Would not have recognized him. Poor guy. I mean, he looked like he might die any second. It was very sad, but very, very nice that, you know, everyone stood up and he felt that appreciation. But here he is, Catherine Zeta-Jones, standing next to him in her underwear. I don't know, basically. But anyway, everyone was wearing black. And I figured out, of course, it was a sexual harassment thing without any prepping. But I imagined I'd heard, you know, rumors again of things going to be happening. So that was nice, but I was distracted by everybody in black, but it was fine. Now, when Frances McDormand took the Best Actress, I already saw it coming, even though she was up against Meryl Streep. Whatever, didn't matter. Her performance in that movie was so good. And the movie was so good, it even took Best Picture, Best Motion Picture. So for drama. And that's the funny thing about the Golden Globes, too. They have drama and a comedy category. With the Academy Awards, you just get Best Picture. That's it. Could be a comedy, could be a drama. As a matter of fact, it was a horror movie one, Silence of the Lambs one. They just have one category. So Golden Globes breaks it down. Serious, not so serious. Anyway, Frances McDormand was brilliant. She was so good in that. I knew she'd win. And Gary Oldman, I have not even seen Darkest Hour. And of course he's Winston Churchill. And apparently, I mean, I've seen the trailer. It's Winston Churchill. Come on. Okay. That is Winston Churchill. So he had to win the Academy Award. I mean, the Golden Globe, but I think he'll also win the Academy Award. I think it will transfer over. A lot of these do. I think Frances McDormand will also win Best Actress. Okay. Cause she's so great. But I started thinking these historical figures, always win Best Actor. Think about it. We have Daniel Day-Lewis, who won for Lincoln not that long ago, which, by the way, as I said a couple of podcasts ago, he said he was going to stop acting. Surprise, he's back acting and nominated, but he didn't win for something about a fabric designer. I don't even know. It looked boring. And you have Gandhi. Ben Kingsley won. Okay, so he's Gandhi. I think Queen Elizabeth. Was it Kate Blanchett? So, again, if you're like a historical figure, and you do a really good job, and you're probably British because those people, you know, they're not from America or somewhere, UK, Australia, anywhere. You're just not from here. You're probably going to win a big award. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Now, The Shape of Water got nominated for stuff and won stuff, too. It looks like a really weird, strange movie. It's, you know, obviously fiction, like Creature from the Black Lagoon meets a woman that can't speak. I don't know. They have a thing. I don't know. It's like a Beauty and the Beast type situation where, you know, the different species, I guess. It looks okay. I'm not, you know, breaking my neck to see it, but it's there. I do want to see Lady Bird, and I will see that. However, and I've seen Get Out, and I like that. Now, The Disaster Artist. I have to talk about this for 1 second. James Franco, I knew he'd get that. He did get that. It was a really good movie. However, I also saw The Room, and that was a horrible, horrible movie. I mean, it should be like the government should know about this movie instead of waterboarding. They should just make people torture them by watching this movie. It was a challenge to get through it. I did. After 24 minutes, I was ready to bail. I couldn't stand it. I mean, example, I'm not spoiling anything. If you really want to see it, my gosh, I guess you should because you need perspective to see The Disaster Artist. You really should see The Room first. But I mean, example, someone's knocking on a door. They come in. Hi, how are you? Okay, good. Well, I got to go now. I mean, basically that. This, I don't even know why they showed up at the door. It was written by a 12-year-old, it seemed like. It's very, very difficult to watch. The music's bad. The acting's bad. Everything's bad. The story's bad. But The Disaster Artist, on the other hand, was tremendous. It was very, very good. But I really recommend, again, sit through, stomach it, see The Room if you can first for perspective. Now, what's funny to me is there were two actresses nominated in the same category, and I almost cannot tell these girls apart. listen, go look up Margot Robbie and Emma Stone. I thought the whole time Margot Robbie was Emma Stone. Is it Robbie? Robbie. She was in like Suicide Squad and stuff, but she was nominated for I, Tonya, which I do want to see that movie. But anyway, Emma Stone and Margot Robbie, they should be like sisters in something. Totally. I couldn't tell them apart. I know what was going on. But anyway, Saoirse Ronan won for Lady Bird. You know, the Italian, I mean, Irish person. And back to Three Billboards for 1 second. Sam Rockwell also won. He was so great in that. The movie was just great. It was really good. But I do want to see The Florida Project with Willem Dafoe. I've been wanting to see that movie for a couple of months now, and I can't find it. And I really want to see The Florida Project. I don't know how I'm going to do it. It's playing in some weird, probably cinema far away, a little, you know, small theater. But I really want to see that. But I'll probably have to wait till it comes out on Blu-ray or something. But I do want to see The Florida Project. I really, really do. And it is getting tougher and tougher for me to not just give in and see The Handmaid's Tale. Okay, it's winning again. It's winning stuff. It beat out The Crown. It beat out Game of Thrones. It beat out Stranger Things. It beat out This Is Us, which I hear is also very good, which I haven't seen it. I've only seen Game of Thrones of all of that stuff. I haven't seen all of the others. But Handmaid's Tale, ooh, they're dangling that carrot. Supposed to be really good, dystopian future. But I thought it was weird when whoever won for it, the speech by the person, again, I don't remember her name, but they, at the end, sort of said, you know, don't let this happen. We can't let this happen. Are they really seriously thinking that would be the future of America? I mean, I read about what The Handmaid's Tale is even about. It's not even possible. It's so science fiction-y, George Orwellian. There's no way. So please don't let this happen. Please don't let pigs talk on Animal Farm or anything. Please, because I don't want that. I will be scared if pigs talk to me. And some of the actresses that have aged a little looked like they'd had some work done on their faces. Now, I just want to say Barbara Streisand didn't look really horrible, but it was clear there'd been something done. And even Michelle Pfeiffer, I wish she would have just aged gracefully. I'm not saying she even looks bad, but there's something going on. Now, I prefer someone like Anne Dowd. Here we go with Handmaid's Tale again. Anne Dowd is probably in her 50s or 60 even, and she is just going with it, not doing anything, and she looks good, and she, you know what? These roles are fine. Why does everyone have to try to change her face? Okay, so I'm glad that Anne Dowd at least didn't do that, and a lot of women are not doing that, but some are, and I don't get it. I think you should just not do that because you might look weird. That's all. That's what I think. So I also happen to see The Last Jedi. Okay, and I'm not going to spoil anything. You know me by now. Do you not? Do you not know, Tori? I don't spoil movies, and I wouldn't spoil this one. There were still a lot of people in the theater when I saw it last weekend, so a lot of people haven't seen it, and it was good. You know what? They say it's long, but it flew by. It didn't seem super, super long. I didn't even get up once, so I sat there the whole time in comfort. I mean, didn't have to use the restroom or anything. I was fine. Watched it, liked it. There were a couple of lines that really struck me. They, you know, they resonated with me. And one was, let the past die, kill it if you have to. See, I'm not saying who said anything. But you know what? Maybe that's a good point. Let the past die, kill it if you have to. Why do people look back and think what's already over and done? And maybe you do have to let it die. The other thing, which was not a spoiler, because actually Mark Hamill said it a year ago when Carrie Fisher died. He tweeted, no one is ever really gone. And that's a line that is said in the movie. No one is ever really gone. Oh, you know, that's a comforting thought. It made me sad. It made me tear up a little. to hear someone say that, because you think of loved ones and people tell you, yeah, you know, they're still with you. So you hear that line, no one is ever really gone, and it's meaningful. So I did like the movie. I would recommend it. Of course, I've seen all the other ones. I want to stick, you know, watching them in the series. And then I think it's next year is actually episode 19. And with Roman numerals is coming out. And I'm excited to see that. There's also a spinoff, I think, about Han Solo, when he was younger, a Western-y type movie, which was, you know, Rogue One was also a spinoff, apparently. It wasn't in the series. It was, you know, one of those movies about, it was before, it took place before the original 1977 movie. Was it Last Hope or something? But anyway, that was important to see in a way, because I want to get it all connected. I forget about Jar Jar Binks and all that stuff, and oh, that was such an unfortunate time. But nevertheless, you know, I like Natalie Portman, so I can live with it. Ewan McGregor, he's great. He won a Golden Globe for Fargo, so good. Okay, now what I found on the internet, and there's everything on the internet. The internet is a wonderful thing. It's marvelous. There is a dog that talks. Okay. This is Kobe. He's a Siberian Husky. And he's going to say, I love you. And you have to listen to this. And it's very short. And you can find it yourself if you can't hear it that good. So listen to the dog. And dogs do this sometimes. I think they say, I love you. It sounds like it anyway. Listen.
I love you.
Wasn't that great? If you missed it, just rewind it or go find it yourself. Kobe the talking Siberian Husky. I thought that was fun. I like dog and cat stuff. It's usually good and cute and funny and baby stuff. And like that show, America's Funniest Home Videos. Oh, I remember that show from day one. I remember thinking about submitting something and being on the show and winning $10,000 and stuff and meeting Bob Saget. I guess he was the one that did it originally. Yeah. Then it became the Tom Bergeron guy. And then I pretty much gave up. I wasn't really into it. I mean, I've seen it, but I used to watch it every week. I think it was Sunday nights. You'd sit down with your family and just put on the show and laugh. And, oh, look at they fell down. Oh, look at they got wet. Oh, look at that. It was fail. You can pretty much see that on YouTube now if you type in fail videos. Okay? And there's a lot of them, and they're outrageous. And some of my favorites are people that go off diving boards and they don't know what they're doing, and then they hit the diving board before they go in and they look like a complete fool. I would never do that. I look like a fool in many other ways, so jumping off a diving board is not going to be one of them, okay? Yeah. Yeah, so speaking of nasty, did you hear this story? I know you did, and it was like a week ago, and I know I'm late to the party, but I wasn't here, so I'm back, and there was a guy that was pooping on a plane. I mean, we've all done it, right? You poop on a plane in the bathroom. It's what happens, okay? Well, in this case, this was a flight going from Chicago to Hong Kong. Okay, I don't know who does that. I'm not doing that. That's way too long. But apparently they did this, and the guy was a 22-year-old Vietnamese guy who was probably out of his mind. And he had like another Vietnamese guy with him, which is supposed to like watch him, like a relative or something. Anyway, long story short, he had smearing poop everywhere. So they had to divert the flight to Alaska. What a way to go to Alaska. What a story you'd have to tell, though, you know, but, they put up everyone in hotels, so that's fine. I mean, you got a hotel for the night, and you got a story to tell. But then I started thinking, you know what? Because of one guy, Richard Reed, was that his name? The shoe bomber. Remember him? Okay. Because of one dude, we're all taking our shoes off for the last 20 years or something. Because of one guy. Okay, what's going to happen now because of this poop guy in the bathroom? I mean, are there going to be cameras in the bathroom, monitors? Are they going to give you IQ tests before you get on the plane to make sure you're not a crazy person? Do you need straitjackets? This could go anywhere. Don't you think? I don't know. I don't want to get into all Handmaid's Tale again, dystopian future about plane rides. But they diverted a plane to another state because of one guy pooping. So, I mean, pretty much anything can happen. I don't know. I don't know. Yes, my pet peeve is, I don't want to steal Ron's pet peeve because he's already peeving about this and he's been peeving about this for years, and that's fireworks. But you know what? That's 4th of July, and you know what? That's what it is. It is what it is, okay? And that's at a decent time, probably like 10 o'clock sometimes, 9, 10. Okay, New Year's Eve, they were doing fireworks around midnight. What is that about? I didn't even want to stay awake. I went to bed at like 12:10. I didn't watch the ball drop. I didn't watch anything. I was going to sleep. And I'm hearing fireworks somewhere. Why does it need to be done in the middle of winter at midnight? It doesn't, okay? So I can stand it in the summertime when it's supposed to be and it's a thing. But you know what? That's ridiculous. No one should have to live like that, hearing bombs going off at midnight in the middle of the winter. I just don't think it's right. New Year's or anything. And I don't even remember if they've done this in the past, but they're doing it now. Enough. Stop it. Yeah, so I've been doing some reading. Yep, I picked up a book for the new year. Why not? Gonna read a book. Reading a book. Yep, I'm reading Fire and Fury, the Donald Trump presidency book, and I'm already up to chapter 5. Okay? I like it. I don't care what people say about it. You know, maybe it does read a little tabloidish or whatever, but it's entertaining. I never read those romance novels and Fabio covers and any of that stuff. That's crap. I don't want to read that. I usually like true crime if I'm going to read nonfiction. And that's what I prefer. I don't prefer fantasy stories necessarily for books. I mean, I like that in movies and whatnot. But if I'm going to read a book, I really want to read like something real. So biographies are good and stuff. But anyway, so yeah, I'm reading Fire and Fury. And I like it. I'm enjoying it. It's a real page turner, but I have it on PDF, so it's an ebook. So it's not really a page turner. It's you scroll or whatever you do. That's what I'm doing. Okay. So yeah, I don't want a paper copy. I just, you know, everything. You know what? We don't even need libraries probably anymore. Everything's going to be digital and ebooks and Kindles and whatever, audio books. That was a thing even before. So that's not going away. Because, you know, people are blind and they can't even use an ebook. But anyway, yeah, so I'm sure books are great and everything, but everything's moving digital. Same with DVDs and CDs. Everything is digital. You're streaming your movies, you're Netflixing, Hulu, MP3, audio, whatever, digital files. Nothing is hard copy anymore. I mean, it is, you can still get vinyl, tried to make a comeback. Maybe it does. It's kind of cool to put on a vinyl album on your record player and hear the dust and the needle. And that's a great sound that I grew up with and I kind of miss too. But you can't fight progress. Progress is good. I love the future. I don't want to go back in time as far as having no more of these conveniences that we take for granted now. So I don't see the point. I think where we are now is good. Let's move forward. I like science. I believe in climate change and all that stuff. I think science is our friend. And so is this book. It's a very interesting story, which I tend to believe because it's incredible. And Donald Trump is a child. And we all know that. And everybody knows that. And everybody's saying that. So, and I never said, by the way, Steve Bannon is a wonderful guy. because of the things he's saying now. I think he's always been kind of a slimy character. Okay, I'm not changing my tune one way or another about him just because he doesn't like Donald Trump now for whatever reason. They're all a bunch of very shifty, strange characters in that White House that have been there and that have left there for this term. I mean, I'm not singing Steve Bannon's praises at all. You read about, there's a whole chapter. Chapter 4 is all about Steve Bannon. Okay, just read that. You know what? Just read the prologue in chapter 1 and then decide if you want to stick with it, and I bet you will. All right. But that Jared Kushner, that guy, he's trouble. I've said it since day one. If there is an Antichrist, it's him. And now there's some scandal with Israel and $30 million or something. Yeah. Big surprise. Okay? I don't trust him. I'm never going to trust that guy. You shouldn't either. And you know what? I wasn't even that interested in the book. I was kind of interested in it. But then with all the brouhaha going on about Trump and trying to thinking about suing and all that, I went, oh, wow, that really, what's in this book? And you know what? That was stupid of him. He should have ignored it because by doing what he did, he made the books fly off the shelf. And everybody wants one now. And even WikiLeaks was giving it away free. I don't know if they still are, but in a PDF format. So you should have grabbed yours. So did you hear about what went on over there with the Chinese app? They had this Chinese dating app, okay? It was closed down after it was revealed that the women were robots. Haha, okay? Yeah, that's really funny. They arrested a bunch of people and stuff, but can you imagine? You like, how? You know what? That could be happening right now, and you don't even know. Okay, you think you're talking to a person. It could be a Russian bot. Who knows who you're talking to online? Okay? People are not who they say, but I think that's pretty hilarious that they actually had actual robots on an app. That's like a Tinder thing or whatever these are. And they're actually robots you're talking to. We're not that far away. You know what? If they did it there, they can do it other places. And they're going to take your money and you're going to think you're talking to a person and they got your money and it's too late. That reminds me, there was another app, was it last year? And it was called Twoo, Twoo. I think that was the name of it. And that was another scam. All they wanted was your emails and your contacts and your phone, and they'd start spamming all the contacts. And you'd start think you're talking to someone, and they'd stop the conversation and make you pay to be able to really talk to them or something. You know what? Stay alone. This is a lesson. Just stay alone. If you think you're going to find true love or somebody out there, they're going to disappoint you. You're better off finding your happiness in yourself. Okay? Didn't like Buddha or Gandhi say that or somebody? Yeah, it's inside you. It's in there. You're not going to find it with anybody else. That's gravy if you think you're finding it with somebody else. Yeah, maybe that's extra. But you better find your own happiness inside or you're going to maybe fall for a Chinese robot. You know what? Mark my words. And with that, we're going to say goodbye until the next time, which will probably be in a week or two. Maybe three, I don't know. I'm still thinking about how often to do the show. But you know what? Maybe I'll be back next week. Won't you have to just keep tuning in to find out? Check New England Broadcasting. Find out. Just go to the website. If you don't see my podcast there, Ron's got a new pod up every day, and they're funny, and his interviews, and they're great. So just listen to one of those. And just hang around and wait for me to come back, okay? Okay? Oh, that's all I'm saying, okay? Peace out. Dress, 15 smiles.